God is so good. I wish that it seems like my vocabulary is so limited when I start thinking about the goodness and the graciousness of our Heavenly Father. I just run out of words. I'm sure you remember a few weeks ago I told the story about the lady that came home from church and she surprised this thief that was robbing her house, and all of a sudden he just gave up and says, uh-uh, and just let the police cuff him and take him away. And all she was doing was quoting scripture. And you know our hearing can play tricks on us. That thief just knew she said she had an axe and 2/38. But her scripture she was trying to quote was Acts 2:38. And guess what, folks? That's my text for today. Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and for your children and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he, talking about Peter, testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as had any need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread in homes and ate their food with glad hearts and generous hearts, praising God and having goodwill to all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Once again, we see Peter, the main player of my sermons for the last couple of weeks. Again, today he's taken center stage. Peter started out as a fisherman. And when I think of fishermen, I think of smelly, dirty, grimy fishermen. But this is how Peter started out. He was out fishing, doing his best to make a living. When Jesus came by one day, and he didn't say, Peter, I need you to go to Emory or to FSU or someplace and get your education. He said, come on, follow me. But there was an authority in the voice of Jesus Christ that made Peter lay down his nets. He put his rod and reel back on in the case, and he followed Jesus. But we look at Peter's life, and the only thing I can think of to compare his life to would be a roller coaster. I told y'all last week that this preacher don't swim. This preacher does not do roller coasters either. But Peter's life was like a roller coaster. Up today, down tomorrow, up today. He was, I don't know how to say this, he was like a lot of Christians. You got joy unspeakable and full of glory today, and tomorrow you'd have to have a shovel to scrape us up off of the floor because we allow ourselves to have our joy stolen by Satan. Peter was like that. Peter was no different than we are. He had his ups and his downs. But it seems like in our scripture today that Peter's ups and downs, they took him higher and lower than what most people did. Peter was not a very outspoken person until this particular day. But something had happened to Peter that transformed his life totally. He received the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter was an old-fashioned preacher. And I'm not saying this because he lived 2,000 years ago. I'm not saying that's what made him old-fashioned. But he was a plain, down-to-earth man that knew how to get his point across to the people. He preached a plain and simple message. He preached a message that didn't leave us wondering, what did he just say? I know we have all sat and listened to preachers preach. And when we got in the car to go home, we ask ourselves the question, what did he or she say? What did they preach about? We have no clue. But Peter's message to the people on this day was just as plain and simple as it could be. Although he preached a simple message, Peter was one of the greatest motivational speakers that has ever been. We have great motivational speakers today. But after they get through speaking, oh, we feel good, we're happy, we're excited, we're just on the mountaintop. But we go out the door of the church and we face a real world with real problems. But Peter gave these people on this day a message that they could, shall we say, take to the bank. He had a message for these folks that they could live by 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They could have peace and joy in their hearts, regardless to where they were or what was going on. That peace reached outside of the church. His message prepared the people to face the giants in their life. I talked a couple of Sundays ago about facing our giants. We all have giants. But Peter was telling the people how that they could face them. Our text tells us that the Lord added to the church daily such as would be saved. Let's examine Peter's message a little more closely. Peter's audience at this particular time was predominantly Jewish. But the message that Peter delivered was not just for the Jewish people. It was for every one of us. It was for us today, August the 17th, 2014, at Bethel United Methodist Church. Peter's message was for me. Peter's message was for you. Peter's message offered hope to the hopeless. It offered life to those who were spiritually dead. It was a perfect example of Christ-centered preaching. Peter was not trying to be politically correct. He could have cared less about using the correct tense of a verb. His soul, S-O-L-E, soul purpose, was a soul, S-O-U-L, purpose. He was concerned about being spiritually correct. And we see from Peter's sermon exactly what can be accomplished through the preaching of the word. What do you want to see accomplished through the preaching of the word here at Bethel? When Christ is exalted, when we lift up Jesus Christ and put him the center of everything at Bethel, the center of everything in my home, and center of everything in your home. When we exalt Jesus Christ, souls will be saved. Every one of us has a family member. We have somebody that we're close to, that we love, that we care about, that needs a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But we cannot have that happen as long as we are confined to the four walls of this church. We have to put legs on our prayers. We could pray for people until the cows come home. But unless we reach out and let them know that not only do we love them, but that Jesus loves them, then we will see our church grow. I want to see the church packed out. But more than that, I want to see a revival in our souls. I want to see souls saved and brought into fellowship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter was telling them today in this sermon. He said, you can have fellowship with me. You can be a part of the kingdom of God. But there's conditions that have to be met. Peter starts out with a formula for winning the lost and building up the church. What does he say? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Here is clear evidence that this formula works. Never underestimate the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message that Peter presented was one that Jesus had died and was buried, and he rose again to life, and he ascended unto his Father in heaven. This message cut to the quick with the people that had been so skeptical of Jesus. People that had rejected the ministry of Christ were now sitting back and taking notice of what was happening. And they were asking the question, what shall we do? What shall we do? And Peter told them, repent and be baptized. If we want our church to grow, we all need to tell people that repentance is what it's all about. And repentance involves two changes. It involves a change of your mind and a change in your action. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your priorities change. Your habits change. You are changed. You can change outside all day long, but you're changed from within by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. A change in attitude without a change in heart is not true repentance. We can preach and teach the Word of God, and we will see hearts changed. And when our hearts are changed, our actions, our daily life will reflect that change. In verses 39 and 40, Peter says, for the promise is for you and your children and as many as call on the name of the Lord. Now, Peter was offering something that everybody wants. He was offering assurance. If you buy a product, you want a guarantee. You want to be assured that when you get that thing home, it's going to work. And Peter offered these folks the assurance that if you put your faith and trust in Christ, if you repent, if you are baptized, I assure you, your life will change. I assure you that God will bless you. Whenever Peter offered them this assurance that Jesus had died and was buried, Do you know that death could not hold Jesus down? When death reached out and took hold of Jesus on that cross, it couldn't hold him. Because death was taking a hold of life itself. Jesus Christ is life. Jesus is a source of life. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. This is a message that we need to hear and that we want to hear. This is a message that will inspire the church. It will promote growth in our church. It will promote growth spiritually in every one of our lives if we will allow this transforming power of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. We can see our loved ones saved, our children saved, our mate saved, people in our community that have problems. We can show them the way to Jesus Christ, which is a solution to every one of these problems. You have that form to fill out. But you may be asking yourself the question, what can I do on an individual basis to make the church grow? In the second chapter of the book of Ezekiel, God sent an Ezekiel to speak to the children of Israel. God calls them a rebellious and transgressing people. And we're dealing with the same kind of people today, a rebelling and transgressing people. Some people will hear what we have to say and accept Christ. Some won't. Some will turn a deaf ear and refuse to listen to what we have to say. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus has overcome death, hell, and the grave, and has appeared in the flesh. And just before his ascension into heaven, he says these things in Luke 24, verses 45 through 49. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of all things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city of Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. When Peter told the crowd the conditions that needed to be met, God honored their obedience. In 3 years of public ministry, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had only about 120 active disciples. In one day, after one sermon, Peter saw 3,000 people transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I told Daniel that I would be happy with the 120. But we are limiting God when we limit ourselves with numbers. What we need to begin with as far as our visitation is concerned is that we need to rededicate ourselves to Christ. We need to devote a set time every day. Pray for our community. Pray for our visitation program. Pray for our church, because nothing's going to happen without prayer. God says to pray about everything. And we need to pray if we want to see changes. This church, this community, can reach hundreds and hundreds of people. but we have to combine our efforts and put our faith into action. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We have to combine our faith and put this faith into action.